And welcome, folks. This is Truth Versus News, and today is December 18th, 1 week before something called Christmas. Oh boy, are we ever ready? And we got our Christmas gifts that came this weekend with Jim Fetcher and company here giving a conspiracy and false flag conference that was like no other. And it had Scott Bennett in it, and Scott had quite a resume, of course, and Brian Davidson. And it was really a fantastic time. And these gentlemen are right here with us now. So let's see here. Oh, right here with us right now. And so we want to get going here. Jim, I guess let's get going up in Moscow. What does Putin have to say?
You got it. You got it, Don. Vlad has finally come to his senses and realized that he has been naive about the West. That what it really wanted was Russia's disintegration. The West was determined to break Russia apart after the collapse of the Soviet Union, believing that multiple states based on countries' ruins would be too weak to resist outside influence, so they could be exploited, especially for their natural resources, President Putin has said. In an interview with Russian journalist Pavel Zerbun, aired Sunday, Putin admitted he was a naive leader early in his career, even though he had a solid background in Soviet intelligence. The Russian president today believed the West understood that Russia had become a completely different country after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and there were no further ideological differences warranting a serious standoff. Russia had even gone capitalistic. According to Putin, even when he saw Western efforts to support terrorism and separatism in Russia decades ago, he thought was the inertia of thinking that was to blame. They just got used to fighting the Soviet Union, he believed. In reality, the West was deliberately trying to undercut Russia. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, they thought they just had to wait a little longer, and then they would break Russia apart as well. According to Putin, the West saw no need for the existence of the world's largest country. It would be better, as suggested by former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, to divide it into parts and subject them one by one. This alleged Western plan hinged on the premise that several smaller states would have no weight or voice of their own and would have no chance to defend their national interests the way the United Russian Federation has. The Russian leader was referring, it appeared, to a 1997 article by Brzezinski, a supporter of Soviet containment, suggesting Moscow should abandon a futile effort to regain its status as a global power. How ironic in retrospect. The former White House advisor also opined a loosely confederated Russia, composed of a European Russia, Siberian Republic, a Far Eastern Republic, would have an easier time fostering economic relations with its neighbors, really meaning easier time being exploited by the West. Putin repeatedly has said the West was planning to split Russia into several states, warning the Russian people would cease to exist if this happens, and naming its continued unity, the ongoing Russian Federation, as a key condition for the country's success. Now, we have a news bulletin that Russia has hammered a NATO operations center with Kinzhal hypersonic missiles. This has just happened. Russian forces reported and confirmed the destruction of a NATO operations center in Starokonstantinov, Ukraine, by Kinzhal hypersonic missile. Initial reports say Ukraine suffered 28 casualties. NATO lost at least 12 officers. Ukraine forces have given no statement, have disabled communication in the region to prevent information from getting out. Too late. U.S. and NATO are now directly involved in Ukraine combat ops against Russia and Ukraine. Meanwhile, Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, the most experienced diplomat in the world today, has warned the West 500 years of domination of the world is coming to an end. He says the conflict in Ukraine has made Russia far more independent. He said, The conflict has made Russia stronger, even though the West has sought to weaken Russia. He compared it to how Russia became stronger after defeating Hitler and Napoleon in the past. Lavrov said the hybrid war in Ukraine is based on cancel culture, adding it's up to the Ukraine to recognize how deep they are in the hole where the Russian, where the Americans put them. As an illustration, I think, of the lack of American domination, Afghan opium poppy cultivation had plunged by 95% under the Taliban, believe it or not. One of our reasons for going into Afghanistan was to promote a poppy crop so the CIA could continue as the world's largest drug operation, Al Jazeera. Poppy cultivation and opium production have plunged more than 90% since Taliban authorities banned the crop. Poppy cultivation dropped by around 95% from 233,000 hectares at the end of 2012 to 10,800 in 2023 since they officially banned poppy farming in April of 2022. Opium production has taken the same path, falling from 6,200 tons to 333 tons over the same period, giving a major blow to Afghan farmers who experienced a staggering billion-dollar drop in their revenue. U.S. officials said while this trend could help in the fight against the illicit opium trade, it also presented risk to a vulnerable population that has long depended on the poppy trade for its livelihood. Wow. Scott, your thoughts.
Well, let me just say I'm carrying my RT coffee cup, which RT, the TV channel in Russia, gave me, among many other things. And I was delighted to be on RT, live television on RT. And they never tell me what to say. They never say, Mr. Bennett, your language is a little strong. Your personality a little too alpha male. Maybe beta male it. No, they don't say that. They say, Mr. Bennett, what are your thoughts? And my thoughts, hopefully, have been listened to by Putin and Lavrov and Zakharova, because they're saying a lot of the stuff that we've been saying for the past few years, if not the past decade, Jim. So starting out, you know, the best way to understand the American government's attitude towards Russia and intentions towards Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1990 and progressing up to this day is, I think, best reflected in the metaphor of the story in the Bible where the concubine was raped to death by the men of, Brian will help me out, what was
Sodom and Gomorrah.
No, it wasn't Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the one where the concubine was actually raped to death, and then her body was chopped up into four or five pieces.
Oh, yeah. I remember, but I don't remember this. I don't remember this.
So that's been the agenda of the West, whereas Putin and the Russian people, and I know this from being back there and knowing the Russian temperament and their personality, the Russian people and Putin had hoped that there would be a marriage between Russia and America. They honestly hope, Yeltsin hoped this, that Russia would be brought into NATO. Yeltsin said, we will take care of Europe, we'll defend Europe. There was a complete reorientation of Russia wanting to join NATO, Russia wanting to marry the West, be brought back in, and the West and America and Russia would balance out Asia and the Middle East. That was the general agenda. But instead of a marriage, the West and America, and specifically the CIA, wanted to rape Russia to death and chop it up, like Zbigniew Brzezinski has said. Now, just imagine that. When you come to that realization that that's the real agenda of the West, someone that you wanted to marry just wants to rape you to death and then chop you up. And I know that may be graphic for some of the softer-minded people that watch our show, although I don't think there's any soft-minded people who watch our show. But that's the nitty-gritty of what the West wants to do. And I think Putin and Russia have very sadly, with a great deal of nausea And really, brokenheartedness have had to come to this conclusion that there is no marriage potential with the West at present. They have to defend themselves or else get raped to death and chopped up. That's what America has been pursuing. And it shows you, I think, an accurate depiction of the psychopathic or sociopathic profile of the American government, which manifests woke culture, manifests a government policy of homosexuals preying on prepubescent boys, having gay parades saying, we're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children, we're going to dress up schizophrenic boys as girls, and they're going to change in girls' locker rooms, and you're not going to say anything other than you're a bigot. And this woke culture, this transgenderism, Gavin Newsom, you know, saying the government agencies can go into a house and take the child out by force if the parents object to this. This is cancel culture. This is what Lavrov and Putin and all the others have been talking about in a very mild way. They haven't been as graphic as I would like them to be. I said that when I was in Russia meeting with some very top level people. I said, when you engage with the West, and you know me, I'm not too mild. I said, when you engage with the West and they start bitching at you about human rights and blah, 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 and democracy, you say, duh, duh, but we don't cut off the penises of our little boys. We don't wrap the breasts of our little girls. That's all you need to say to the American State Department, the American CIA, the American rainbow bus of Lindsey Graham and Blumenthal and the rest of these fools that come riding in to claim about human rights and all this other stuff. That's all you need to say, Russia. We don't cut off the penises of our little boys and call it freedom. And, you know, I think they're learning that and they're getting to this. So they're divorcing themselves by necessity from the West. The West is incapable of retracting its philosophy, the government. I don't mean us and on the rest of, there are good people in America, but for some reason, God has given America over to strong delusion to believe a lie. It's incapable of turning around, it seems. It's incapable of altering or having a moment of diplomatic reflection or intellectual, wait a minute, how did this happen? Is this really in the best interest of the world? Is this going to advance our power as America if we force this woke culture on everybody? Or is it going to isolate us and destroy us eventually? And they don't seem to be able to understand it, or they've been paid off not to understand it. So Russia's reorientation away from the West has been coming for decades. It has all been done by the hand of the United States. Not one decreasement of power has been accomplished by the superiority of any other nation or strategic diplomatic thinker. Nothing has been done to weaken us that another nation has done. Everything that we have done to weaken our power has been self-inflicted. So we have been committing so slow political suicide, you know, with other schizophrenics like in Britain and Germany and France, who are all Mussolini about to be hung. So I see the West completely imploding. I've said it before, I'll say it again, into a civil war, a conflict, not because conservatives want it, but because the woke culture fascists are incapable of adjustment. And they are so homicidal, so lunatic, so delusional that they are now becoming kamikazes, political kamikazes. And I think that is going to lead us into the greatest season of conflict that this country has ever experienced within our own walls. Jim?
Brian.
Yep.
Okay, so I want to do a little point counterpoint because I see things a little bit differently. Maybe I'm just taking a little longer view of this. But before I go into my counterpoint, I want to thank Dr. Fetzer for putting on a great False Flags and Conspiracies conference this weekend. Lots of excellent speakers, very well organized. A lot of great things happened. I was really happy to go through that conference. And I suggest that, you know, you go to the website and download whatever you can and get involved with that. And, you know, even start to approach Dr. Fetzer about something you can contribute next year, because it might be time to cycle out some of the old speakers and bring in some of the new speakers. I think that's a great idea. There's lots of people out there, I noticed from the comments, that have great ideas and great comments. And, you know, I just think that we ought to expand our ground a little bit, because it's time to start bringing in new blood. Now, counterpoint. I think it's a little myopic to call us the West. I think in my mind, the battle is more of the Council of Foreign Relations versus the people. Okay. When Russia makes these statements that they made, that this is what we, the West, are trying to do, you have to remember who's been pulling the strings globally for a long time. And it's been the international bankers and cartels reaching back to the Rothschilds and the Illuminati plot that was exposed in the 1700s related in Bavaria. I mean, if you start to trace that those statements down and start to find that book that was originally found and discovered in Bavaria, you'll find that there was a great conspiracy hatched to take over the world. And the goal in that conspiracy was to keep everybody at war with one another. Now, I'm a freedom-loving person. Russian people are freedom-loving people. The people of the world are freedom-loving people. I think it's a battle between freedom-loving people and the slave masters who want to control and enslave the world. And I would say, even now, under this context, I'm even going to say this. I believe that many of what we call the Jews are freedom-loving people as well. Sure. And I think that these banker cartel bastards would be willing to sacrifice those people's blood just as fast as they'd be willing to sacrifice any of our blood, just as fast as they're willing to sacrifice the Ukrainians or the Russians or any others. So when I see the West, when I take a look at it and sort of parse it up, what I see are puppets of the American Bar Association, puppets of academia, puppets of Skull and Bones and all these other mysterious ancient organizations that are influencing these Masonic type groups that are controlling us. So to me, at this point in time, I'd like to see the whole world bear down on these people who think that they own us, that they can control us, that they can control our food, that they can control our gas, that they can control our companies and our operations. And I'd like to see the West, being the people of the West, team up with Russia and patriotic people all over the world to take these bastards out. And I mean it, take these bastards out. And if you go look at Scott's presentation from the False Flags and Conspiracies Conference, he targets one of the top players in the global conspiracy, a man who is a puppet himself, a puppet of the banking conspiracy, Bill Gates. Now, when I look around, I see Victoria Nuland and I see Dick and Liz Cheney and I see Mitt Romney and I see all these Rhodes scholars that have been brought through a system to train them as enemies of America. And I see these people sort of artificially inflated and moved to the top of society. These are the bastards that need to go down. They're no better than us. They're not mentally superior because they went to Harvard. They're not better than anybody anywhere. And I'll tell you what, I'll take one man of character over 1,000 of those puppet sons of bitches. Amen. And I think that's how we ought to be seeing it. And that's how the Russians ought to be seeing it. And the people of Ukraine and the people of Israel and the people of Europe just as much.
Very, very interesting, Brian. I like that.
Amen.
Meanwhile, this is so terribly important. Israel Shamir, globalism is Jewish supremacism. Henry Mackow published this on the 17th and has a commentary that was an earlier piece, but it's hitting the nail on the head. Judaism seeks to replace God. This is what the scamdemic, vaccines, Agenda 2030, and the New World Order are all about. It is possible there are no, or almost no, Jews who fully understand what the Jews want, Shamir writes. In the globalist paradigm, Israel wants to unite the world under her spiritual guidance. The temple of God is to be located in Jerusalem, the center of this Jewish universe and of all nations, and all nations will bring their tribute to it. The nations will worship God by serving Israel. Shamir says a deification of the Jewish people requires people have no other God but material gain and sensual pleasure. Here's Henry Mankow, a piece published years ago, still relevant. Israel Shamir's new collection of essays, Pardes, contains a prescient and shocking warning to Jews and to humanity as a whole. Jerusalem wants to make the Jewish people the intermediary between God and man, replacing Christ, says Shamir, an Israeli Jew who converted to Christianity. Essentially, he says, the Jews want to be God. Jewish messianism, the building of a humanist earthly paradise according to Jewish specifications, replaces spiritual salvation. The historical mission of our world revolution is to rearrange a new culture of humanity to replace a previous social system. This conversion and reorganization of global society, a new world order, requires two essential steps. First, the destruction of the old established order. Second, design and imposition of the new. The first stage requires elimination of all frontier borders, nationhood and culture, public policy, ethical barriers, and social definitions. Only then can the destroyed old system elements be replaced by the imposed system elements of the new order. The first task of our world revolution, therefore, is destruction. Those words from Nathan Goldman, founder of the World Jewish Congress, in a piece entitled The Spirit of Militarism, published, believe it or not, in 1915. The Jewish Holocaust replaced Christ's passion. That's why it takes precedence over the other 60 million people who died in World War II. It is possible there are no or almost no Jews who fully understand what the Jews want, he writes. The term the Jews refers to individual Jews in the same way that the Catholic Church is related to individual Catholics or a beehive to individual bees. There is no subjective personal guilt associated with individual Jews unless their specific actions or inaction are criminal or sinful per se. Thus, this discourse should help an individual to decide whether he wants to be a Jew or not, in the same way one may choose whether one wants to be a communist or a Quaker, for it is my deep conviction that to be or not to be a Jew is an act of free will. In the Jewish globalist paradigm, Israel wants to unite the world under her spiritual guidance. A temple of God is to be relocated in Jerusalem, the center of this Jewish-ordered universe, and all nations will bring their tribute to it. The nation will worship God by serving Israel. Shamir says a deification of the Jewish people requires people have no other God than material gain and sensual pleasure. In the Jewish reading, the exclusive sacredness of Jerusalem and Israel calls for the desanctilization of the nations and the rest of the world. There will be no churches nor mosques, no Christian or Muslim priests. The world will become a profane desert populated by profane beasts, the nations and their shepherds, the Jews. It begins with small things, removal of Christian religious signs from schools and public places. But our souls interpret this surrender of spirit as a proof of Jewish victory. The Jewish universe is being built brick by brick. And one of its signs is a lowering of the educational and spiritual life of Gentiles. American films, for example, degrade their viewers. for total victory of the Jewish spirit will be reached only when a debilitated, illiterate goy will thankfully lick a Jewish hand and bless him for its guidance. Shamir notes that the U.S., which is as Jewish as Italy was Catholic, has banned mention of Allah and of the Quran in the schools of occupied Iraq. Shamir was born in Russia as a successful author and translator, became a foreign correspondent, served an elite Israeli paratroop. He believes Israel and Palestine should become one democratic country and Israelis should assimilate with their Palestinian neighbors. He compares ordinary Jews with foot soldiers who do not know the general's grand plan. The generals are organized Jewry in its many forms. In another essay, Zeno Zero, he says, the belligerent party is probably the Jewish polity, world Jewry, the carrier of the spirit of Judaic supremacy, despite their plurality of options. Shamir is an eloquent writer with a breadth of experience and vision. He has crystallized the Jewish problem and put his finger on the cause of anti-Semitism, the notion of a chosen people charged with building a materialist utopia at the expense of all other nations, races, and religions. He recognizes this elitist philosophy is suited to any neo-feudal hierarchy, but fails to identify the real generals. His aversion to the idea of an Illuminati conspiracy prevents him from recognizing that the Jewish polity is itself an instrument in a larger game. Jewish or Israeli power derives from that of the London-based central bankers and the Rockefeller CFR CIA U.S. subsidiary. Jewish humanism is a Trojan horse for the construction of 1984. Zionism is but an incident of a far-reaching plan. Louis Marshall, an American Zionist and counselor for bankers Kudlow, wrote in 1917, is merely a convenient peg on which to hang a powerful weapon. The Jewish messianic spirit is a powerful weapon in the establishment of the New World Order, a totalitarian world government run in the interests of what the protocols of Zion call an aristocracy of the rich. On the ruins of natural and hereditary aristocracy, we built an aristocracy of our own on a plutocratic basis. We established this new aristocracy on wealth, of which we had control, and on science, promoted by our scholars. Notice, the emphasis is on wealth, not race or religion. The protocols of Zion is Illuminati Jewish, not ordinary Jewish. I've suggested elsewhere, the mainspring of the New World Order is a desire of central bankers to translate their control of credit into world institution of political, social, and spiritual control. The enslavement of humanity requires the destruction of all collective forces except our own nations, race, religion, and family. Neoliberalism, which Shamir says embodies a Jewish spirit, achieves these goals under banners such as the marketplace, feminism, diversity, and multiculturalism. Although most central bankers are racially Jewish, they belong to a Luciferian sect known as the Sabbatean Francus that actually hates the Jewish people and plots their ultimate destruction. Savali, a former Illuminati trainer, said, I've always wondered why some of the highest-ranking financial families in the group, Baron Rothschild of France, one of 13 European lords or kings who run the group in Europe and sits on the World Council, are Jewish, yet the group espouses hatred of their own race. The Sabbateans are behind Zionism, communism, and Nazism, and are responsible for war and for the Jewish Holocaust. They remove the Ten Commandments as well as references to Christ from public places. They make the Jewish people their instruments and eventually their scapegoats. Take Eugene Meyer, for example, chairman of the Federal Reserve, president of the World Bank. His family owned the Washington Post. He was born Jewish, but he married a German Luciferian and raised his children as Episcopalians. The Shabbateans are part of the Illuminati, the top rung of Freemasonry devoted to enthroning Lucifer as God. Many of its members are not Jewish. Take George H.W. Bush and other members of the Illuminati, Skull and Bones, for example. Luciferianism suits elitists because it denies the existence of a natural design and absolute standards of justice, truth, and morality. Instead, it preaches atheism and decadence under the guise of personal freedom. Essentially, it is a case of who will people obey and serve, God or Lucifer? If they believe in God, then they follow a healthy spiritual and moral design. If they believe in Lucifer, they are God, and they can do whatever they wish. Do what thou wilt is their motto. Governed by self-interest, they are easy to control. As Masonic revolutionary Giuseppe Mazzini said, we corrupt in order to rule. Ultimately, the Luciferian plan is to enslave the masses. In 1871, Albert Pike, not a Jew, Grand Commander of Freemasonry, foretold three world wars designed to bring about Illuminati hegemony. The third will be between political Zionism and the forces of Islam and result in the destruction of both. Can anyone deny the stage had been set for such a conflagration with Russia, Iran, and China opposed to the U.S., the EU, and Israel? Judaism, as well as Christianity and Islam, and many nations have been subverted by the Illuminati. Our idealism has been tricked and misdirected. Some time ago, many of the richest and most powerful men joined a cult dedicated to evil. Humanity is the victim of an occult conspiracy of monstrous proportions. Shamir's warning to Jews applies to all nations. Are we Luciferians? Are we pawns sacrificed in a game designed to enshrine Lucifer as ruler of the world? It's time we stop listening to the generals and start obeying our conscience. I conclude with Israel Shamir's prophetic words. The New World Order is, in religious terms, the beginning of the kingdom of the Antichrist, based on the removal of all spiritual elements from our life. In practical terms, it is an ambitious attempt at the total enslavement of man. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, it's a very good article. It confirms a lot of material that we've been studying and talking about. It's very encyclopedic. I know Brian rings with a lot of the stuff that article is talking about. You know, to sum it all up, Jim, number one, the one thing I found some disagreement on is the claim that Iraq has outlawed mentioning of Allah in their schools and such. I don't see that as happening because Iraq has basically told the United States to get out and its parliament. It's very, very Islamic. So putting that aside, the one miscalculation of all of this is that it's a game of chess and someone's going to win in the end without, you know, with the idea that there's two players essentially, you know, and he says it in the summary, political Zionism versus Islam, and the two would cancel each other out. On the Islamic side, you have Russia, you have China, the Asian nations, and on the political Zionism, you have the United States, Ukraine, Israel, and you know, maybe some of these European countries. Although I don't think European countries are going to go Zionistically inclined. They'll go Islamic before they go Israel. But the one thing they miscalculate and they don't understand is that this isn't a game of theoretical chess. This is God. God is alive and God is involved in the affairs of men. And God does determine the political winds that blow, and he raises kings up and he sets them low. He raises nations up and he sets them low. The miscalculation, and I saw this in Iraq too, with these neocons that thought, will go riding in through Iraq and set up Starbucks and Walmart and make them good little Democrats. And I knew from the beginning when I was in the State Department, their miscalculation was the spiritual variable, which is a nut that you can't crack. It is the most precious thing to the tribal Islamic people all over the Middle East. And they could never understand that. Because they could never understand it, everything that they tried to do in the Middle East has blown up in America's face. And I would say this applies here too. Christians, real Christians who believe in God passionately and know that God is alive and involved in every step that they take and every breath they take and everything that they do and everything that happens to them, people who live like that don't need institutions. They don't need countries. They don't need anything, because their entire life, their breath, their food, everything that they require is provided to them by God. That's in their faith. And I lived like that myself. And I've been through horrors, but God sustained me. So the notion that if they destroy the churches or they destroy the country or destroy things, that somehow that's going to destroy people's faith is, again, a miscalculation, because it will only cause people of faith to grow stronger and become brighter. And that goes for the Islamic people, too. Look at what's happening in Israel, in Gaza. With Israel's destruction of Gaza, they think they are extinguishing the light of Islam. And in fact, they're doing the opposite. They are, you know, doing the Ben Kenobi move. Strike them down and they will become more powerful than you possibly imagined. And that's what they're doing. They're making the Palestinians and the Gaza issue the unifying magnet for all of the Islamic, Allah, Quranic believing people, Saudi Arabians, Yemen, Turkey, Iraq, Syria, Indonesia, Africa. All of this is going to annihilate Israel. So the concept of the Jewish creation of a world of pleasure, I mean, that's exactly what they're trying to do with the hedonism and the perversion and everything that they're trying to force down into America, the police state they're trying to create. But it's ultimately going to lose, because people of faith will ultimately rise up and overthrow, fight back, stand up because they have nowhere else to go. Their mission and their sacred identity is wrapped up with God. So that's the number one miscalculation. Is this is not a chess game between two players. This is people of faith who are progressing through this world and time, knowing that there is an end, and knowing at the end of time, they are going to go where their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. That is our faith, to endure whatever martyrdom, whatever fight, whatever persecution. Occupy till I come, Christ says. Stand. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly? That doesn't mean walk as a slave. That means to march towards the destiny God calls for you. So that's the miscalculation, is that they perceive faith as an equation that can be altered, a clock that can be taken apart and reconstructed. But in reality, it is something that is beyond man's ability to understand or define, but it is a constant that will only grow brighter and stronger through persecution. Jim?
Brian?
Open up your wallet or your purse and pull out a $1 bill and turn it around and look at the back. You're going to see a pyramid with an all-seeing eye at the top of it. It is surrounded with the words in Latin, Anuit Coeptis, Novo Ordo Seculorum, announcing the conception of the new world order. You've got to understand that there are two worlds that are here, and you're generally in one or the other. Now, that pyramid with the all-seeing eye on the top. That all-seeing eye represents Osiris, the sun god, which is sort of the top dog, him and the Baals or Satan, sort of the top dog in the ancient mystery religions, which is the foundation for witchcraft, sorcery, divination, spiritism, occult practices, Eastern religions, and others. Now, what comes out of that when you start to divide it up? You'll get, first of all, the Kabbalah. Second of all, you'll come up with Gnosticism. Third of all, you'll drop down and Knights Templars will begin to drop out. Then you'll get the Rosicrucians. Then you'll get the Freemasons and the Illuminati. Now, if you do a close study of the Freemasons, which are very active in our society today, you'll see that every action that they seem to be involved in is to welcome back to this world or ushering in the conception or announcing the conception of the great architect or the new world order. We, the Christians of America, are generally diametrically opposed to that, believing that our primary citizenship is that of a heavenly kingdom, that of love your neighbor as yourself and others. Now, unfortunately, all of society is permeated with these symbols. If you look behind me, you'll see two Christmas trees. Frankly, I'm a little bit embarrassed about them. What are they? Pyramids with a star at the top. Osiris. It's part of our culture. It's built into our culture. And it's set around the ancient dates of the ancient fertility cults and the ancient festivals. I tend to believe that all of these occults fall under that same category of the ancient mystery religions. I see the parallels between Kabbalism, the Knights Templar, the Catholics, the Freemasons, and the Illuminati. Now, the battle is between the two, because there is a group of people in this world that believe that they are better than us. They're superior in every way because they've been trained at our academic institutions and they've been taught how to hide and conceal this fact with all of their symbols and all of their all-seeing eyes and 666s and their penises and everything else that they throw out there with all of their symbols in society. You've got to understand this battle in order to play a game in it. If you want to hear God talk with you or to you or work with you, he's not just going to do it just because. He'll do it when he's good and ready. And generally, it's been my experience that he does it and he talks with people and he works with people that are ready to receive the message. And how do you get ready to receive the message? You admit that you're a sinner. And you admit what he did. And you start out with something like that. Now, I'm sorry that I had to take that article and sum it up like that. But hey, guys, this is the message. Either you're with us, the resistance, or you're with them.
Very good. Nice distillation. Meanwhile, if you have any doubts about the savagery of Israel's decimation of the Palestinian population, here's a local leader. Israel should make Gaza resemble Auschwitz. Israel should be sending Palestinian Gazans fleeing to find the refugee camps in Lebanon, with the entire Gaza Strip being emptied and leveled and turned into a museum, like the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland, Metula Council head David Azula told 103 FM, the Jerusalem Post reported. After October 7th, instead of urging people to go south, we should direct them to the beaches. The Navy can transport them to the shores of Lebanon, where there are already sufficient refugee camps. Then a security strip should be established from the sea to the Gaza border fence, completely empty, as a reminder of what was once there. It should resemble the Auschwitz concentration camp, he said in an interview with Ben Caspet in Yanan Magal. Tell everyone in Gaza to go to the beaches. Let it become a museum. showcasing the capabilities of the State of Israel and dissuading anyone from living in the Gaza Strip. This is what must be done to give them a visual representation. What occurred on October 7th was a second Holocaust. Lebanon already has refugee camps. That's where they should go. We should leave Gaza desolate and destroyed to serve as a museum, demonstrating the madness of the people who live there. Israeli journalist Shimon Ricklin issued a similar call for ethnic cleansing and genocide on recent TV in Israel, stating, "I am for the war crimes. I don't care if I am criticized. Middle East eye." Israeli journalist Shimon Ricklin has stirred controversy and condemnation after supporting war crimes, saying his inability to sleep unless he sees homes in Gaza destroyed. Ricklin references the Torah, saying that ancient practices involve spreading salt on the earth, or I would say now, salt water in the tunnels. Meanwhile, Israel bulldozes buried Palestinians alive inside tents in Gaza Hospital. Israeli bulldozers have demolished tents of displaced Palestinians outside a hospital in the Gaza Strip, burying people alive inside them. Video footage from Al Jazeera shows mangled tents and belongings of Palestinians at the courtyard of Gamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Laha, north of Gaza. The report said at least 20 bodies now lie in the yard. Dozens of displaced, sick, and wounded people were buried alive. The occupation Israeli bulldozers trampled the tents of the displaced people in the hospital yard and brutally crushed them, Palestinian journalist Anas al-Sharif reported. A terrifying massacre and unspeakable scenes. What the Israeli occupation did inside Gamal Adwan Hospital is a horrific crime against citizens and medical staff. A hospital is completely destroyed. The Israeli occupation forces are targeting anything that moves in its vicinity, said Al Jazeera correspondent Iman Zagout. Following the report, the Geneva-based independent organization Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor called for an international investigation into the horrific act. The observatory said in a statement that it has received testimonies and complaints from medical and media teams confirming Israeli bulldozers buried Palestinians alive in the hospital yard before they withdrew this morning. It said at least one of the bodies could be seen amidst the piles of sand. Citizens confirmed he was injured before he was buried and killed. The observatory also indicated Israeli tanks approached the hospital about 9 days ago. Israeli army snipers mounted high buildings and began shooting at anyone who moved. The hospital remains under siege for the ninth day in a row, with the regime's forces shelling the medical center. The atrocities committed by the Israeli forces at Gamal Adwan Hospital are an extension of the Israeli army's repeated attack on facility crews and medical transports as part of its systematic policy since last October 7, aimed at destroying the healthcare system in the Gaza Strip, which constitutes a war crime under the rules of international humanitarian law. On Monday, Ahmed Al-Kohut, head of the Gamal Adwan Hospital, said Israeli troops bombed the maternity ward, resulting in the death of two mothers along with their newborn. The Gaza Health Ministry said 12 babies are trapped in incubators as the regime forces continue to besiege the medical center. The situation at the hospital is catastrophic. According to a Palestinian journalist, it's at least 3,000 had sought refuge in the complex. According to media reports, Israeli forces have stormed the hospital several times and turned its roof and building into military barracks, imposing a siege on those inside and depriving them of food and water. Scott.
Well, what comes to mind is we know what the Israelis are, the demoniac, savage, murdering spawn of Satan himself, and we know what the United States is, the concubine, the whore of this satanic seed, because we're backing and allowing and financing and arming everything that Israel is doing in Gaza. So we know what the United States is, and it is a moment of, you know, choose this day who you will serve. Are you for justice, or are you for murder? So we see what Israel is doing and the United States is doing. But what comes to my mind and what prompts me to question and say, where the hell are the fighters for the Palestinian people? Is where is Turkey? Where is Syria? Where is Iran? Where is Saudi Arabia? Where are all of these countries that should be sending special forces in the middle of the night? Either through ships dropping them on the beach or flying them in. But where are the Islamic countries sending their special forces in to kill every Israeli that's driving a bulldozer that is burying these people and killing these people? Where are the Arab, Muslim, other countries' special forces and snipers shooting back at the Israeli snipers? That's what I'm wondering. Where and when are the enemies of the satanic Jewish Israeli Zionist forces, when are they going to rise up and take bloody action against the Israelis? When are you going to see equal, if not superior, attacks against Israel and any of its military in Gaza? I'm wondering, because I'm tired of hearing the complaints and the bitching and the moaning of Erdogan, of Turkey, of Iran, of Syria, of everyone saying how bad the Israelis are. Tell me something I don't know. I know how bad they are. I know how wicked they are. But the question is, where are you? You live in the neighborhood, Turkey. You live in the neighborhood, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Iraq, all of these countries, Jordan. You're next door, and you're allowing these women and these children and all sorts of innocent civilians to be slaughtered. And you're allowing this talk of turning Gaza into Auschwitz and sending people to Lebanon. Guess what? Lebanon is supposed to be controlled by Hezbollah and the Lebanese, counterfactor. So I'm wondering when you're going to see a military counterpunch, or is it just going to be a bunch of talk from a bunch of blowhards who really are nothing but castrated eunuch beta males who make a lot of noise, but at the end of the day don't do anything? And I wouldn't be surprised if the Israeli Zionist Mossad and the CIA FBI start to blow up buildings in the United States and say it's being done by Muslims, say it's being done by anti-Jewish, anti-Israeli forces. I think that's the next thing to do. And I think they're going to do this with Ukrainians too. They're going to amplify their kinetic terrorist operations to usher in that police state. There is, and I'll end it by saying this, there is no going back. Never will there be a going back other than through war, bloodshed, violence, revolution, civil war, whatever you want to call it. But there will never be going back to normalcy or what America maybe was in 1985. And I remember those days fondly, or 1995 or 2005. There is no chance of us ever going back to those days without bloody violence, because the Democrats and these globalists who are ushering in this police state know nothing but violence. So in one sense, that's the only methodology to return to peace and stability, is through violence against the oppressors. But anyone who believes it's going to be achieved by democracy or Donald Trump or any of this other bullshit, you deserve to stick your head in the sand and have your ass blown over by an Israeli bulldozer. Jim?
False Ryan. Flag, right? There's going to be false flags coming flying. Yeah.
I'm probably going to get crushed in the comments for what I'm about to say. And that's okay, because I'm thinking. And I'm thinking, what was Adolf Hitler's born name? Wasn't it Schickelgruber? Adolf Schickelgruber? Wasn't he a Jew? He was a Jew. Who financed his rise to power? Wasn't it the Rothschilds and the cartels? And then you have World War II come around, and every atrocity under the sun happens during World War II. Every terrible thing you can possibly imagine, people's bodies being blown to bits. Now we've got Palestine and Gaza. Well, is it possible that Adolf Schickelgruber was raised up to do this massive campaign from a propaganda perspective against the Jews, so they'd have an excuse to set up the promised land and themselves back as a nation again, so that they could have their biblical promise and their return to their new world order? Is it possible that the Israelis today that are out there running the bulldozers, that are running over these machines, are nothing more than puppets of a machine that's doing everything they possibly can to usher in the Antichrist and this new kingdom? Is this all part of the plan? Are all of these people puppets? Wake up, America. Wake up, world. Our battle is not against babies in Gaza. Our battle is not against these people. Our battle is against the people that try to deceive us into doing these atrocities in the name of national sovereignty or safety or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Don, I think this is the point to take us out.
Well, we got another minute. Any other comments?
One minute left. It looks like there's breaking news on Twitter. Giuliani apparently has the tapes that the FBI has of Biden's corruption, and he looks like he's currently releasing them on Twitter.
Way to go, Rudy.
Hey, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm watching it. I can't see the captions, but it looks like he and his son are decided to fight back.
High probability. Well, he's been raked over the coals unmercifully, and he's striking back. Don,
hopefully,
take us out.
Okay. Well, what do you make of this hour? Wasn't this about the heaviest hour you can imagine? You know, things are happening that are not good. What kind of gifts are we going to get this Christmas? Okay. It's going to be one heck of a lump of coal, and it's going to be hurting. So we want to definitely tape this show and get it out to people, that it's really worth it. So let's get ready to come back for some more heavy hitting. But boy, this was something else. And that false flag conspiracy conference we just held was spot on. And I'm going to try to get that out to people, too. You got to get that information. That was done this weekend under Jim's guidance. It was just outstanding. So anyway, we're going to come back with us.